Book of Joshua, chapter number 14, the book of Joshua, chapter number 14. And some of you will be familiar with this story, this account here in the Bible. You recall last week I preached unto you hindrances to obtaining the blessings of God. And we preached to you about how as the children of Israel were on the verge of going into the promised land, there were hindrances to getting there. Sihon came out, the king of the Amorites, and he warred against Israel, and God delivered Sihon into their hand. And then the next hindrance they seen was Og, the king of Bashan, and Og was a giant, the Bible tells us, and we face many giants in our lives as we strive to fulfill God's will for our life and to be able to experience the blessings of the Lord. And God delivered that giant, into their hand as well. And then we seen that Balak, he came out. And the first was an adversary. The second, we see a giant. But the third was very unique. For we see Balak called for Balaam, because Balaam had a reputation of being able to get a hold of the Lord. And who he blessed was blessed, and who he cursed was cursed. And he called him to come and curse these people. And you know what? The world today, Satan today will use religion to hinder you from experiencing the true blessings of God's word and of God's will for your life. I want to preach to you this morning on the story of Caleb here and on claiming the promises of God. Amen. And we're going to begin reading in Joshua chapter 14, verse number 6. And we'd invite you, if you're able, to stand with us as we reverence and honor the reading of God's word. The Bible says here in verse number 6, then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Even since the Lord spake his word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I'm as strong this day as I was the day that Moses sent me. And as my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron for an inheritance. And Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord, God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest for more. Brother Jim, would you take us to the throne of grace? There are many promises in God's word that are given to us collectively and as individuals. But as we mentioned earlier and as we preached last week, sometimes there are hindrances to God's people being able to get a hold and just being able to know those promises. The world in which we live in today seems to take away the peace that God's people should have, and the peace that God's people in America have known, and the confidence and the contentment that we had. Sometimes we get too content in the things that God gives us, and we get complacent, and we begin to let the promises of God slip away, and that's what has happened in America. But nonetheless, the promises of God are still there. It's not too late for America to experience and to know and to be acquainted with this, the promises of God. 2 Chronicles 7:14 is still in the Bible. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, he said, then will I hear from heaven. Amen. And he'll bless, and he'll forgive us of our sins. He'll restore our nation, and we'll have the contentment and the peace of heart that we once had. But God's promises are still there. The hindrances and the things of this world that we see cannot keep God's promises away from God's people. Amen. We can overcome them as the children of Israel did. Every time the hindrance came against them to go into the promised land, God gave them a victory. Amen. And it's in the victories that we learn that the hindrances sometimes come to help us to realize and know that our strength and our power and the source of our blessing isn't in the thing that God gives us, but in the fact that God goes with us and is with us as we face every trial and every problem of life. Amen. We get all wrapped up in the things and the tangible things that we have. And we miss out on so many of the blessings because we miss the spiritual blessing. We miss the spiritual lesson that God wants us to know and to have and to see. The children of Israel have obtained the blessing. Sion was defeated. Og was defeated. Balak was defeated. The children of God have come into the promised land. And for 5 years now, they have waged war against the enemies of God and against those that had possessed the land that God had promised them for a blessing. And God promised them this land, a land that flowed with milk and honey, a land that was like no other land, I believe, in its day, because I believe God's blessing was upon that land for his people, and God had chosen that land specifically for his people. And when they obtained that land and went in, he told them, he said, I'll go before you and I will drive out the inhabitants. I will drive out your enemies, and I will give you victory, and you will possess the land that I have given you, the land that I have promised unto you. And the Bible tells us over in 2 Peter chapter 1, as we've been studying in our adult Sunday school lesson, that the promises of God are precious. They're exceeding, and they're great. They're beyond what we can comprehend in our minds in this world. God just gives us so many blessings that we miss so many of them because we haven't claimed the blessings that God has promised to us, and we don't prepare ourselves for the blessings of God. For 5 years, Caleb has warred with the children of Israel as they have driven the enemies of God out of the promised land. And now he comes to Joshua and he says, now I want you to give us our possession. I want you to give me what God has promised unto me. I want to claim the promise of God for me in my life. And I want to preach to you on that thought this morning for just a few moments, claiming the promises of God. If you'll look in your Bibles in our text this morning, in verses 6 to 9, you'll find something Caleb that is very important in claiming the blessings of God and in knowing the blessings of God in your life. Number one, in verses 6 to 9, the Bible tells us that Joab, I keep wanting to say, Joab or something. But that Caleb, he was willing and he was able. He was strengthened. He was encouraged by what God had said. Amen. Are you moved by the word of God this morning? Amen. Look at what he said. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said. Amen. It wasn't Moses' word. It was what God had said to the man of God. Amen. It was God's word that brought the promise. It was God's word that encouraged him. It was God's word that helped him. And many people are missing out on the promises of God, and they can't claim the promise of God because they don't trust the word of God. But let me tell you something, friend, this morning, there is no greater truth, there is no greater power, there is no greater book, there is no greater word that you could ever read in the word of God. And it allows you access to the promises that God has for you in your life. He has promises that we can't even begin to number. There are ones, I've got some books by a man by the name of Herbert Lockyer. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. But he's wrote a whole series of books. And they're all the blank in God's word. All the women in God's word. He examines every woman that's mentioned in the Word of God. All this and all that. He's got one that's all the promises of God's Word. I don't know of any book that it could actually contain all of the promises that God's Word gives us. Because so many of the promises of God are multiplied out in so many ways that we don't understand. Just if we will live godly and live a life that's pleasing unto Him, He's promised us different promises than if we just go through this world. He's promised a child of God that we get saved. I believe in eternal salvation through and by our faith in the blood of Jesus. Amen. But there are some people that get saved and they don't walk the walk that they should be, that they're not as close to the Lord, and they don't experience the blessings that the child of God experiences that walks close to the Lord. That's what I'm trying to say. There are blessings and our promises of God's word that help us to face the trials and the problems that are before us. There are promises of God's word that will comfort us in the times of our loss. There are promises in God's word that strengthen us for the battles that we must face and the storms that will rage against us. There are promises in God's word that help us to realize His love and His compassion to us. How do you realize the Bible not only tells us God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. It also tells us that we become heirs and joint heirs with Jesus. It also tells us that we were adopted by that same Savior, by that same death, and by that same blood into the family of God. The Word of God is filled with promises. And Caleb was claiming the promises of the Word of God. Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. He trusted the promises. We sang that song, Standing on the Promises. What promises are they? The promises of salvation, the promises of eternal life, the promises of help for our times and difficulties and through the storm, the promises that keep us going, the promises that keeps God's people coming back to the house of God because they know that God loves them. For God so loved, the promises of His love. So many things that God has given us in His Word. And when Solomon was blessing the temple in Jerusalem, and Solomon fell on his knees before God and lifted his hands to heaven, and he prayed unto God, the Bible says when he finished praying, he rose up and he addressed the people in verse 54 of 1 Kings chapter 8. The Bible says, and it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. And he stood and he blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel. Listen at this. According to all that he promised, there hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. The Lord our God be with us as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us nor forsake us, that he may incline our hearts unto him, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments, and his statutes, and his judgments, which he commanded our fathers. Solomon, in looking back, Solomon, in accounting for the promises that God had made to his people, Solomon could attest and give this testimony that God hasn't failed in one promise that he'd ever made. Caleb believed that. Caleb trusted that. Caleb was relying on that. Caleb says, I've come to claim the promise of God. But Caleb also not only trusted God's word, he followed God's way. Look at what he says in verse number 8. He says, nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. Look down in verse number 9. He says, and Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord thy God. And look up into verse number 11. And Hebron therefore became by the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. It is said six times in the Old Testament, that of Caleb, that he wholly followed the Lord his God. Amen. If you want to be able to claim the promises of God, you got to be willing to wholly follow God. Amen. We live in a world that's full of perverseness. It's filled with evil. And every time something happens, people will cry and they'll scream, well, where was God? God's right where he's always been. God's right where he always will be. High and lifted up. On his throne. Knowing and in control of all things. God doesn't change. God's promises do not change. But man's faithfulness and man's relationship with God changes. And the way that God deals with man and pours his promises out to man is affected by the place where man finds himself spiritually. Amen. We got a world today that wants to live like hell, but they want to claim all the promises of God in their life. They want everything that they can get, but they want to give nothing unto God who gave all. The Bible says that God gave his son. The Bible says the son gave his life. And as the old song says, and sinners go free. Amen. God has given everything so that we can have everything. And the world wants to claim everything, but they want to have nothing for God. They have no time for God. And certainly, churches and Christians are just a bunch of money grubbers. All they want is your money. I don't know. Have you heard us ask for anything? We took an offering up, you know, but we haven't begged for your money. We want everything that the world has to offer, but we want to reject everything that God has to offer. But we want all the blessings that God can give us, but we don't want to give to God our hearts and our lives, because we feel that nobody has that right. I am me. And I have the authority in my life. I make the decisions for my life. God gives you that ability to be a free moral agent. He gave Adam and Eve that ability to be a free moral agent. Moses came back from the Mount of God, and the children, as he looked down and as he heard the noise in the camp, were sinning. And Moses went down and said, all that are on the Lord's side, come over here. God does make a difference. Amen. Joshua told the children of Israel, he said, you can be like your fathers and serve the gods that were on the other side of the flood. You can do whatever you want to do, but as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. The question has been posed throughout God's word on more than one occasion. Who's on the Lord's side? And those that are on the Lord's side are those that have access and those that have privilege to the promises that God wants to pour out upon his people. Caleb wholly followed the Lord. If you're sitting here this morning and you say, well, Pastor, my life is just a mess. My life is a shamble. I don't feel blessed. I don't feel like God cares. Well, do you care about God? Are you living a life that's wholly pleasing unto him? Are you following what he's told you to do? You know all about the blessings of God. You know all about the promises of God. But do you know all about following the Lord? Amen. Have you given your heart and your life wholly over unto him and saying, Lord, in my life, do what you want to do. He never promised to make you rich. He never promised that you'd be wealthy. But he promised that he would supply all your needs. He promised that he would love you and never forsake you. He promised that you would never have to go through a storm or a trial alone. Amen. Are you wanting what the world has, or are you wanting what God has for you? See, Caleb didn't ask for a cushy seaside inheritance. Caleb didn't ask for something over here that was going to be easy to possess. Caleb asked for that mountain. Caleb wanted the blessing that God had in store for him. The psalmist says over in Psalm 18, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He's a buckler to all those that trust him. For who is God save the Lord? Or who is a rock save our God? It is God that girdeth me with strength and maketh my way perfect. Why? Because I follow his way. And when I follow his way, no matter where he takes me, even if it's to that mountain, God is going to bless my life. God is going to fulfill his word and his promise to me in my life. I've had to walk through some dark valleys in my life, but I've never had to go through them alone. I've had to face some difficult times in my life, but I've never had to face them alone. I've buried a granddaughter, and I know what it's like to lose someone that's so sweet and so precious and so innocent. Without sin in our life is the way that we understand and know sin. But that doesn't diminish God's promises. That just reinforces them. We sing that song, Homesick. Amen. I've got a little grandbaby. Amen. I'm going to get to see again one day. I've got a mom and dad that's on the other side. I'm going to get to see them again someday. I've got a mother-in-law that I loved. I like my own mother. I got a father-in-law that I never met. And I got a sister-in-law that died with her dad in a plane crash. But praise God, I get to see them all someday. God's promises are God's promises. And we follow God irregardless of where we have to go to claim the promises of God. As Paul and Silas had been beaten and had been taken into the inner part of the jail and their feet had been made fast in the stocks, they didn't bellyache and cry. They began to pray and to sing psalms unto God because they realized and they knew the promises of God. When John and Peter were beaten for preaching the gospel, they rejoiced because they were able to suffer for their Lord and claim the promises of God. When Paul writes about the times he had been shipwrecked and he had been scourged, he had been beaten, he had been stoned and left for dead, he had went through all these adverse conditions and these adverse things for the cause of Christ, he didn't complain, but he praised God who was faithful in everything. Amen. For his promises that he poured out upon him. Because following God was important to him, no matter where God had directed him. Verse number 12, Caleb says, "Now therefore, give me this mountain." Give me this mountain. This is what God had promised me. Give me this mountain. This is where I want to be. This is where God has brought me to, in the promised land. It is my possession. It is the culmination of all that God has promised me. And give me this mountain. And he said later on in the verse, "And thou knowest, or thou heardest in that day, how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord, I will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord had said." I want you to know something. There will always be problems. There will always be hindrances that we can let keep us from the promises of God. And here again, not only did they have to face a giant on the other side, as Caleb comes and as Caleb claims the promise of God, there's another giant in the way. A lot of people, they want to follow God. But the first sign of a little bit of friction, the first sign of a little bit of trouble, they want to hightail the other way. They want to go. And they miss the blessings. They miss the promises of God. Their promises in their mind are all wrapped up, as I said, in the world. And they miss what God's got in store for them. David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of the ungodly. Why do you suppose that was? Because he'd rather be near God. Amen. And give up everything the world had. The Bible tells us that Moses gave up the place that he had, the prince of Egypt, and the blessings and the wealth of Egypt, to suffer with the children of God, because he wanted to be close to God. He wanted to follow God. Caleb says, give me that mountain where the giant is. Some people get all the way to their blessing, and all they see is a giant standing in the way. And they said, nope, can't do this. Nope, I can't face this. Some people come to trials in their lives, and all they see is the trial that is before them. We was talking about this in Sunday school this morning, in 2 Peter chapter 1, down in verse 9. Peter's telling the church, he's talking to Christians, how they become blinded and short-sighted. And they can't see afar off. They're nearsighted, and all they see is what's in front of them at the moment. They don't see beyond the giant. They don't see beyond the trial. They don't see beyond the problem. They don't see beyond their circumstance and beyond their situation and claim the promises of God that said that he would bring you through and said that after he gets done trying you in the fire that you'll come forth as gold. You'll come forth better than you was before. Jesus said, in this world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome this world. Why did he tell them that? The first part of the verse is so that you can have peace. Amen. My peace is going to be going through this trial. My peace is going to be going through this storm. My peace is going to be facing this giant, whatever it might be, that's trying to hinder me from claiming the promise of God. But you know how you overcome the giants? On your knees. You know how you overcome the giants? You walk close. You know how you overcome the giants? You get in the Word and you find out every victory that people have had that have had to face the giants in their lives. You know how to overcome the giants? You turn it over to the Lord. What'd Caleb say? If so, the Lord be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out. I want to know, I want to claim, I want to possess the blessings that God has for me in my life according to the promises of his word. But I'm glad that I know all the promises. I know the promises of him with me in the midst of the storm. Do you remember when he told his disciples, let us go to the other side? He didn't say there was not going to be any storms. He didn't say it was going to be smooth sailing. But he says we're going to get to the other side. Do you know the promises of Jesus as we walk through this life and we face the tribulations? Amen. He's overcome the world. And if he's overcome the world, then praise God. I'm an overcomer in Jesus. Amen. I'm a victor in Jesus. And I know the promises of God in Jesus. I remember when God began to deal with my soul about salvation. As a teenager, young teenager, sat back at a church, all the way back in the corner with the pastor's son. Another bunch of the unruly crowd doing the things that young ungodly kids do. And God began to deal with my heart. God began to deal with my soul. And I began to realize I was missing out on what God's word had promised. And one night, I invited Jesus in. And you know what? My outward circumstance didn't change a whole lot. I still lived where I was living. We still dealt with what we was dealing with. Still going through what we was going through. But I had peace that passes all understanding. I had a joy that I couldn't explain. And I could face the trials. I could face the giants, the troubles that came to me in my life, realizing and knowing that God had promised me that he would bring me through every one of them. And he would never forsake me in the midst of them. I learned that God had prepared a place for me, a promise of God's word. I'm more confident, and every day I grow more confident that I'm ready to go and I'm willing to go. I look around the world and I just see that what's going on, and it's like, even so, Lord, come quickly. Amen. I've got lost loved ones. I've got friends. But in my selfish heart, I'm ready to go because I know what's in store. Even so, Lord, come quickly. The question we pose to you this morning is, have you claimed the promises of God? Have you claimed his promise of eternal salvation? He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you saved this morning? Do you know him? And do you know that you've invited him into your heart?